Anyone born from about 1913 to 1950 is familiar with Kilroy. No one knew why he was so well known, but everybody seemed to get into it. So who was Kilroy? In 1946, the American Transit Association, through its radio program Speak to America, sponsored a nationwide contest to find the real Kilroy, offering a prize of a real trolley car to the person who could prove himself to be the genuine article. About 40 men stepped forward to make that claim, but only James Kilroy from Halifax, Massachusetts, had evidence of his identity. Kilroy was a 46-year-old shipyard worker during the war who worked as a checker at the Four River Shipyard in Quincy. His job was to go around and check on the number of rivets completed. Riveters were on piecework and got paid by the rivet. He would count a block of rivets and put a check mark in semi-wax lumber chalk so the rivets wouldn't be counted twice. When Kilroy went off duty, the riveters would erase the mark. Later on, an off-shift inspector would come through and count the rivets a second time, resulting in double pay for the riveters. One day, Kilroy's boss called him into his office. The foreman was upset about all the wages being paid to riveters and asked him to investigate. It was then he realized what had been going on. The tight spaces he had to crawl in to check the rivets didn't lend themselves to lugging around a paint can and brush, so Kilroy decided to stick with the waxy chalk. He continued to put his check mark on each job he inspected, but added Kilroy was here in king-size letters next to the check, and eventually added the sketch of the chap with the long nose peering over the fence, and that became part of the Kilroy message. Once he did that, the riveter stopped trying to wipe away his marks. Ordinarily, the rivets and chalk marks would have been covered up with paint. With the war on, however, ships were leaving the Quincy yards so fast that there wasn't time to paint them. As a result, Kilroy's inspection trademark was seen by thousands of servicemen who boarded the troop ships the yard produced. His message apparently rang a bell with the servicemen because they picked it up and spread it all over Europe and the South Pacific. Before war's end, Kilroy had been here, there, and everywhere on the long hauls to Berlin and Tokyo. To the troops outbound in those ships, however, he was a complete mystery. All they knew for sure was that someone named Kilroy had been there first. As a joke, U.S. servicemen began placing the graffiti wherever they landed, claiming it was already there when they arrived. Kilroy became the U.S. super GI who had always, always been wherever GIs went. It became a challenge to place a logo in the most unlikely places imaginable. It is said to be atop Mount Everest, the Statue of Liberty, the underside of the Arc de Triomphe, and even scrawled in the dust on the moon. As the war went on, the legend grew. Underwater demolition teams routinely sneaked ashore on Japanese-held islands in the Pacific to map the terrain for coming invasions by U.S. troops, and thus presumably were the first GIs there. On one occasion, however, they reported seeing enemy troops painting over the Kilroy logo. In 1945, an outhouse was built for the exclusive use of Roosevelt, Stalin, and Churchill at the Potsdam Conference. Its first occupant was Stalin, who emerged and asked his aide in German, "Who is Kilroy?" To help prove his authenticity in 1946, James Kilroy brought along officials from the shipyard and some of the riveters. He won the trolley car, he gave to his 9 children as a Christmas gift and set it up as a playhouse in the Kilroy Yard in Halifax, Massachusetts. Kilroy was here is engraved in stone in 2 places at the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., back in small alcoves where very few people noticed them. James J. Kilroy died on November 24, 1962, at the age of 60.